It is nice to be with you here this evening for the preaching of the gospel. If you have a Bible with you and you find it convenient, could you turn with me please to Luke's gospel and in chapter 19. Luke's gospel please, and chapter 19. A well-known passage, I'm sure, to most this evening. Luke's gospel, chapter 19, and we'll commence reading in verse 1. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not, for the press, for he was little of stature. And he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And we'll surely see that God will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. You know, just over the last fortnight, I'm sure we all read about a couple who had just won £45 million in the Euro lottery. And you know, I thought to myself, if I had won that amount of money, would I have been happy? And you can answer that question for yourself. Would you have been happy, or would you not have been? And you know, when I was thinking of this man Zacchaeus, we read something about this man. We read this, that he was rich. And yet we do this one thing. It didn't matter how much money this man had. This man, he was dissatisfied. You say, how do you know that? Well, we're going to discover, as we get down the verses here, that Zacchaeus, he had something missing in his life. And you're going to discover by the end of these few verses that the most important thing that he had missing was he did not have the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour. Let me ask you tonight, do each and every one of us in this meeting, do you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? For you see, the Bible says there are only two classes of people in the Bible. There are those who are saved. Oh, you say saved, I've heard that often. That really just means those who have put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've done that tonight, then you're saved. But then the Bible talks about another group of people, and it talks about these people as being lost. Oh, you say to me tonight, Raymond, I'm not lost. I know where I am. I'm sitting here in the gospel hall, and I know where I'm going after this. I'm going back home. But you see, the Bible says this, that if you're not saved, then you're lost. In other words, you're on a broad road, and it's leading down to a lost eternity. It's leading down to that awful place that is called hell. So let me ask you this evening, which group do you fit into? Do you fit into that group of those who are saved? Or I wonder, are you still in that group of people who the Bible talks about being lost? You see, the news that we have to tell you tonight is good news, because the news is this. If you're still in that group who are lost, tonight you can be put into that group who are called saved. For you see, you still have an opportunity this evening to put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I was reading down these verses, we notice, first of all, in verse 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." You say to me tonight, where was the Lord Jesus Christ going? Oh yes, he entered into Jericho, and he's passing through Jericho. But where's he going? Well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was going to a very special place. For the Lord Jesus Christ was going to a place which is called Calvary. You know, we were singing tonight about Calvary. We were singing tonight all about what they've done to the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And we'll come on to that in a moment or two. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He was never again going to pass through Jericho. I discovered in Jericho that there were two people who get saved. You know, there's a rich man here, we're going to discover Zacchaeus, he gets saved. And if you'll just reflect back a few verses to verse 35, we discover there a poor man called Bartimaeus. And you see Bartimaeus, he was the other scale. You had Zacchaeus who was very rich, and here you get Bartimaeus, and he's very poor, for the Bible says in verse 35 that he sat by the wayside begging. But what did I discover about these two men? I discover this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and he met their need. You see, the blind man, although he was blind, and people would really have nothing to do with him. In fact, they said to Bartimaeus, stop shouting. The Lord Jesus Christ has got no time for you. But I want to tell you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got time for every single person. No matter who came to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here, he either healed them or he would save them. And I want to tell you tonight, no matter who you are, I don't care about your background, I don't care where you've come from. I want to tell you tonight from authority that the Lord Jesus Christ, he has got time for you tonight. And you see the beggar, he cried to the Lord Jesus Christ, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, and what does he say? He says, son, thy faith hath made thee whole. And then he made Bartimaeus, he gave him his sight. And you know, I often think about that. I often think about Bartimaeus and who was the very first person he would see. It would be the lovely face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you tonight, are you going to see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ? What if you're saved tonight, you know, one day you're going to see his lovely face. But if you're still lost, you may never get an opportunity to see his face. What about Zacchaeus? Well, we're going to discover he too put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, the Lord Jesus, he was never again going to pass through Jericho. And you see, tonight for you, this could be the very last time you'll ever hear the preaching of the gospel. You see, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, it says, come now, let us reason together. It doesn't say come next Sunday, and it doesn't say come next week. No, no, it's come now. What does it say in the book of Proverbs in chapter 27? It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For you see, we really don't know what a day may bring forth. You know, I was thinking very sadly, was it yesterday morning, or Friday morning, we all heard, I'm sure, about the floods down there in Cumbria. And there was that policeman, and he was just doing his job standing in the bridge. And the bridge gave way, and he was rushed out of time into eternity. It said yesterday that he was hoping to celebrate his 45th birthday. But you see, he was taken from time into eternity. I'm sure he had plans for his four children and his wife for many years to come. And yet there he is, he's cut out of time. And he's into eternity. You see, that's why the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is God's day of salvation. For we don't know really what's going to happen tomorrow. For those of us who are saved, we're waiting in one thing. We're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven to return. And you know, isn't it true that he could return even tonight? He could return before the clock would go to 7:15. I wonder if that was to happen tonight. I wonder if we'd all go to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And so this could be the very last time you may ever hear the preaching of the gospel. It says here about Jericho. If you read up about Jericho, they tell us, was a cursed city. And I suppose in Jericho, there would be things that was always going wrong, things that were bad, things that shouldn't be done. And I suppose, really, Jericho was just like any other town or city that we live in today. But what did I discover? I discovered there's a man here called Zacchaeus. And what did we notice, first of all, of this man called Zacchaeus? It says this, that he was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. First of all, I thought about Zacchaeus, that Zacchaeus was a sinner by practice. I go down to Zacchaeus, he'd be well known for the job that he would do. I go down to Zacchaeus, he'd be known for being a cheat. He would be known for telling lies and for all different things. And there was Zacchaeus, and people knew all about him. You see, I want to tell you something tonight. I might not know all about you. I might not know your background. I might not know the things that you do wrong. But I want to tell you tonight there is one, and he knows all about you. He knows about your secret sins, and he knows about those things that nobody else knows about. For you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows each and every one of us. You see, you said that Zacchaeus was a sinner. Is it because he was rich that he was a sinner? Is it because that he was chief among the publicans? Is that why he was a sinner? Well, no. Because the Bible tells me this in the book of Romans, and chapter 3. It says there is none righteous. No, not one. And then if you come down a wee bit to verse 22, it says this. It says there is no difference. Why? For all have sinned. You see that little word, all. It might just be a very small word, but that includes every single person, not only here in the Gospel Hall, and not only here in Whitburn, but that includes every single person in this world tonight. It includes you, and it excludes nobody. For the Bible says, for all have sinned. You say to me tonight, how can you tell me that I'm a sinner? What have I done wrong? Well, I need to take you back to the book of Genesis in chapter number 3. And there we read the story about Adam and Eve. Remember, they were put there in that garden. What did God say? He said, thou mayest eat freely of every tree in this garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But what happened? Remember, there's the devil disguised as that serpent. And he came to Eve. And what does it say? It says that Eve, she took of that fruit, and then she gave to her husband Adam. What does the Bible say? It says, wherefore as by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world. So because of one man's disobedience, because of what Adam done, because he disobeyed God, sin has come into the world. And every single person who is born into this world, they are all born in sin. But you see, I discovered something in verse 3. You know, it says here that he sought, that Zacchaeus, that he sought to see Jesus. This tells me this, that Zacchaeus, he was anxious. He was in a hurry to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, why was he in such a hurry to see the Lord Jesus? I wonder, had he heard about the many miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ could do? I'm sure, as we've already mentioned in verse 35, I'm sure he heard how that the Lord Jesus Christ, he could make Bartimaeus see. And I'm sure there are many other things that Zacchaeus heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he probably thought, if that man can help that blind man, then I'm sure that he can help me. I wonder tonight, do you have a desire to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? I wonder tonight, would you like to be saved? I wonder tonight, are you just wanting to have your sins forgiven? Well, my friend, you've come to the right place. And you've come to the right person. The lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as you read through the Bible, you'll discover there are certain people and they have a desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking in Luke chapter 18, we read there about the rich young ruler. And you know, what does it say there? It says about him that he came running to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we discover this, that he said to the Lord Jesus, he said, good master, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life? You see, that man made an error. That man thought that he could inherit eternal life. And maybe that's what you think tonight. Well, you know, my mom and dad are saved. And my grandparents were saved. Why, my brother and sister, they're saved. I'm sure it just gets passed down from generation to generation to generation. Well, I have to tell you tonight, it doesn't work like that at all. For you see, salvation is a personal matter. Salvation is something that you have to do on your own. You as an individual have to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this rich young ruler who came and ran to the Lord Jesus, he knelt down before him. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And you know, really, that man, he lived a very good life. Maybe that's what you do. I'll read you some of the things that it says there. The Lord Jesus Christ said to him, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. And I suppose looking at that man, you'd say, wow, there's a very good man. Well educated, does as he's told, good in society. That's a man to look up to. But you see, my friend, he had one thing missing. Because what does the Lord Jesus Christ say to him? He says this. He says, one thing thou lackest. Sell all thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. What does it say about that man? It says that when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he says, is it easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? What did we discover about that man? We discover this, that he turned his back on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, his riches, they were keeping him back from following the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder tonight, is there anything holding you back from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, Zacchaeus, I suppose we could see about Zacchaeus, what hindered him? It could have been the crowd. What does it say? It says he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not, because of the press. Excuse me. For he was little of stature. And I suppose the keys could have said, well, I can't see the Lord Jesus, so I'm just going to go back to my house and I'm going to forget all about meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. But no, what does he do? It says this. And he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Why? For he was to pass that way. You see, what did the keys do? He put away all the obstacles that would hinder him from coming to the Lord Jesus. I wonder tonight, what obstacles are keeping you back from the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, you say, Raymond, I couldn't trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you see, if my friends knew that I trusted the Lord Jesus, I could be friends with them no longer. They wouldn't want me near them. They wouldn't let me go to the places that they're going to. I just couldn't trust the Lord Jesus because of my friends. I want to tell you tonight that your friends might keep you back from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, but your friends will never keep you out of that place that is called hell. You know, we speak to people and they say, oh, I don't really care if I go to hell. That's where all my friends are going. And if my friends are going there, I want to go with them. You know, there was a man in Luke chapter 16, and he went to hell. But what did he say? He says, tell somebody to tell my brethren not to come to this place. Why? It's a place of torment. It's a place of blackness. It's a place of darkness. It's a place where they'll be tormented forever and forever. My friend, if it's your friends that are keeping you back from the Lord Jesus, put your friends to the side and take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. You know, the devil himself would like to keep you back from trusting the Lord Jesus. For it says in the Bible that the devil, he has blinded the minds of those that believe not. You see, the devil, he would rather you didn't trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He would rather you go to that awful place. But tonight, my friend, we've come to tell you the gospel. We've come to tell you how you can have your sins forgiven by believing, by putting your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I try to imagine Zacchaeus, and I try to imagine him there behind the crowd, and then I try to imagine him running down that road. People must have thought, What's got into Zacchaeus? Where's he going in such a hurry? Where was he going? He was going to climb the sycamore tree. But you say, look what it says down there in verse number 5. It says this, and when Jesus came to the place that he looked up and he saw him. What does that tell me? That tells me this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew exactly who Zacchaeus was. And he knew exactly where Zacchaeus was going. He was going up the tree to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ say to him? He looked up and saw and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You see, Zacchaeus, he's got a decision in his life to make. I would say probably this is the most important decision that Zacchaeus was ever going to make. The Lord Jesus Christ looked up. He knew his name. The Lord Jesus Christ, he knows every one of us in here tonight. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You see, Zacchaeus could have said this. He could have said, no, it's okay. I just wanted to see you. And now that I saw you, I don't want to come down. You can go on down the road. But what does Zacchaeus do? I love what he does there in verse number 6. It says this. It says, and he made haste, and he came down. You see, my friend, that was the most important decision that Zacchaeus made in his life. And you see, tonight you too have got a decision to make. If you come into this building, into the hall unsaved, you can go out the same way. Or you see, you can go out differently. Instead of going out with somebody who's lost and on the broad road, you can go out with somebody who's saved. And on the narrow road, where's the narrow road leading to? It's leading up to heaven as your eternal, eternal home. I wonder tonight, what decision are you going to make? As I say, this could be the very most important decision in your life. For you might never ever get this decision, this opportunity again. But you see, I like what it says there. It says, and he made haste, and he came down. Listen to this. And received him joyfully. You know, if you were to trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, it would be a joyful occasion. Somebody mentioned in the prayer meeting tonight, if someone was to get saved, not only would be rejoicing in heaven, but there would be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. You see, when you get saved, it's a joyful occasion. I remember the night that I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a joyful occasion for our family. I remember always phoning my Papa Banks and telling him I had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, for him, it was a joyful occasion. Why? Because the last of his grandchildren had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we get a text message. I was going to say a phone call, but nowadays it's emails and texts. We got a text message last Monday night, and we've got friends over in Ireland, and they're having gospel campaign just now, and the campaign is now into its fourth week. They expect it to go for another 6 weeks or so. But you see, why did they text us? Because they have got four children, and they told us on Monday evening that their second oldest boy, Thomas, if I'm correct in saying so, I think he's about 8 years of age, he has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a time of rejoicing for them. Yes, I've still got three children who are unsaved, and we keep praying for them. But you see, it's a joyful occasion. It's something that you want to tell others. You don't just want to keep it to yourself, but you want to tell others when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to go back into Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, we read there about a Pharisee and about a publican. It tells us about the two of them went up into a temple to pray. And it says about the publican, it says this. It says that he would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What does it say about that man? It says, I tell you this man, when thou doest house, justify. In other words, there was a man, and he had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. He went down to his house justified. He could go down rejoicing because he had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what about all the other people round about him? What were they saying? Well, what does it say? It says in verse number 7 that they were all murmuring, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. But you see, my friend, that's the kind of people that the Lord Jesus Christ loves. You see, the Bible says in 1 Timothy, it says Christ Jesus came into the world, what for? To save sinners. And you see, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves to meet the sinner. If you're in the meeting this evening, and you have that desire to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to tell you, he's got a desire to meet you tonight. You say, what happened to Zacchaeus when he gets saved? Notice down here in verse number 8, it says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. You say, what's happened to Zacchaeus? There had been a turnaround in his life. And you see, that's what happens when you get saved. Before you get saved, your back is heading, your back is towards the cross, and your face is going down to hell. But the very second, the very moment you get saved, you're turned around. Yes, you're facing the cross, and you're facing home, you're facing heaven as your eternal home. There has to be that change. There has to be that difference in your life. But what did I notice? I noticed in verse 9, how long did Zacchaeus have to wait to be saved? Well, what does it say in verse 9? It says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. I discovered this, that the very moment Zacchaeus trusted, that very moment he was saved. You say, do you not have to wait a day? And do you not have to wait a week or a month or any length of time? My friend, the very moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that very moment he'll come into your life. If I was to take you to Luke's Gospel in chapter 23, it's there we read about the Lord Jesus Christ going to Calvary. It's there we read about him being crucified. Those hands that were nailed to the tree, those feet that were nailed to the tree. You see, why did he go to Calvary if he was a sinless man? My friend, he went to Calvary because of your sins and because of mine. And because that blood was shed at Calvary, we can have our sins forgiven. But you see, there was two men that were went to Calvary with the Lord Jesus. The Bible talks about them as being malefactors. Why were they there? They were dying for their own sins. They had committed a crime, and their penalty was death by crucifixion. But you see, as those two men are hanging there, it says in verse 39 that one of the malefactors, they railed on him and said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Maybe you're like him tonight, but I wonder, are you going to be like the other malefactor? He says, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art the same condemnation? He says, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deed. Listen to this. You know, I sometimes try to visualize this. As he would look to the Lord Jesus Christ, he could say, but this man has done nothing amiss. I sometimes wonder, what had he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? The man says this. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That man, he's only maybe got a few moments to live. And in his last few moments, he asks the Lord Jesus Christ to remember him. In other words, he asks the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? Oh, he doesn't say you'll have to come down from that cross and you'll have to do a good deed for a couple of days. Not at all. He says this. He says, today shall thou be with me in paradise. You see, my friend, if you're to ask the Lord Jesus Christ in today, he'll come in this very moment. How long will he come in for, you ask me? Does he just come in for a short time? I want to tell you, he'll come in. And he'll come in and stay forever and forever. Therefore, if anything happens to you, you know you're going home to heaven one day. You're going to see the lovely face of our Lord Jesus cries, I wonder tonight, what decision are you going to make? Are you going to be like those who were beside the Lord Jesus Christ when he was getting crucified? Are you going to cry, away with him, away with him? We don't want to have anything to do with this man. And I wonder tonight, are you going to be like Zacchaeus? Are you going to be like Bartimaeus? Are you going to be like this malefactor? And are you going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour? You see, we can't save you. We can only tell you how to be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I wonder tonight, what decision are you going to make? Are you going to come and are you going to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Shall we pray?